Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today we're going to continue our series on making offers. I had a lead that came through one of my marketing channels. A guy has three properties. He's a landlord. He owns a duplex and two single family homes. And I've came up with some cash offers already for these properties, and I wanted to present these to Jeff to see what kind of creative financing offers we can make. So it's been a really good exercise for me in learning, you know, walking through these offers step by step. So in our last episode, that was part one, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. And if you're listening to this one, if you can't do it right now, try to re-listen to it when you can sit in front of your computer or a calculator and try to run through these numbers together, because if you're trying to make creative financing offers, this is the process you have to go through. And Jeff's walking me through this step by step right now, and then these offers are I'm actually going to send these offers that we're creating here to the seller and see what happens. So great exercise for me and for you guys if you're able to follow along. So Jeff, thanks so much for doing this once again, because
I like it.
It's so helpful for me. So the next property is a single family home. It's about, it's almost 1,100 square feet. It was built in 1954. Three bed, one bath. It rents for $950 a month is what he rents it out for. He has a payment of $800 a month. That's his payment.
P-I-T-I?
Yep.
Okay.
P-I-T-I. And then his mortgage that he owes is
$95. Okay.
So he owes $95 on it. It comps at $195 is the ARV. The median rent for a house in that area for three bed, one bath is
$1,300. Okay.
Repairs, I think, would be $20,000. And my cash offer was $126,250.
Okay. Do we know about the tenant and the lease, or no?
No. I don't know about the tenant on that one. He did say that they take good care of the property. I did not ask what the term was left. So that's something I actually learned from our last episode, Jeff, is always ask what the, you know, what the term is left on the lease.
Yeah. So whenever we're looking at something that is under rented, the goal should be, whether it's you or your buyer, the goal should be to come in, do whatever work, and get it re-rented for the higher rent, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we've got to take into account that, hey, for the next 6 months or whatever the lease is, we may need to modify our terms based on that, hey, we're getting the reduced amount of rent during that time rather than, you know, almost $350 more.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So, So, what is your exit strategy? What are you thinking on this one?
Wholesale it.
Okay. So you don't want to rehab it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. So we can look at this particular property in a couple of different ways. So, if we're going to wholesale it, who are our potential buyers?
Rehabbers.
Rehabber?
Yep.
Who else?
Landlord.
Landlord. There's one more.
And a tenant buyer.
An owner-occupant.
Owner-occupant. Okay. Okay.
So we can look at it from all the different points of view. So what I would tell you is that here's quick and easy. So what was your cash offer?
$126,250.
$126,250. How did you come up with that?
I think I just times the ARV by 75% minus repairs.
Okay.
So 195 times 0.75. That's 146, yeah, 250, and then minus 20, 126, yeah.
So you're putting in like a $20,000 wholesale
fee.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's probably your negotiation too that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Like. So okay. I can come down.
Okay. So here's a quick and easy one, okay, for owner finance. We've talked about this. I love this offer. I make it all the time whenever I make a cash offer is the creative finance hold for short term. Mm-hmm. So if I'm offering 126, 250, I'm going to look at, so his payment is $800 a month. So I'm going to offer him, let's say 132.
Okay.
So about $6,000 more.
Okay.
Where do you think I came up with that number?
Out of your head.
Yeah. I just picked it. I could look at something like this. If you were the buyer and you were borrowing hard money on the 126, so you could get this property for somewhere in that range, They may or may not want you to have some money, some skin in the game, right?
Yeah.
So maybe 10%.
Yeah.
So you're looking at having about 13,000. You're borrowing about 113.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. So you're going to pay $2,000, 2 points approximately. That this is going rate here in Utah.
Yeah.
2 points, 12% interest, right? Something to that effect. 12% is about 1% a month, so you'd be paying $1,000-ish a month.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it's not like a huge savings because we know we've got to make at least an $800 a month payment.
Right.
But it'll save us $200, $300 a month. We'll save the 2 points.
Right.
But really what it is maybe we'll get the deal rather than not get the deal.
Yeah.
Because we offered a little bit more. So I would just offer 132, and if you're not comfortable with that, make it 130 or 131 or whatever. It's at least significant, a little more than the cash offer. I probably need, depending on the lease again. So if they're month to month, got to figure out, give 30 days notice. It's going to take 30, 45, 60 days to do the repairs. 3-4 months to sell the property. I'm always looking for worst case scenario.
8 months.
So let's say six to 8 months, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to ask for that long of a term, somewhere in there, 6 to 8. I'm going to just make $800 a month payment. I'm just going to say I'll make the monthly payment so you have no expense. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you 20, 25, or I'm going to give you, let's say 15. I usually like to give around 10% down to make them feel comfortable. But, I mean, if you were wholesaling this, do you think that someone would come and give you $35,000 down if they could just not have to go get a hard money loan?
Yeah, for sure.
So you could give them 20 and you could make your 15-ish. So simple, okay? Simple.
Yeah.
And if you're not making this offer, I think you're missing out.
Okay.
That would be strictly for someone that wants to rehab or someone that would rehab and rent. So you could actually use like the BRRRR strategy, which would be kind of ideal here. Do you know what the BRRRR strategy is?
No.
Buy, rehab, rent, refinance.
Okay.
So if you went in, you got rid of the tenant, you rehabbed it, it's now worth $195. You can now get $1,300 a month rent. Well, if you put $20,000 into it, and so you're into it for, let's say, about $155. If you refinance at $195, how much money are you going to leave in this property?
About 20%.
Yeah, but if you're refinancing, the house is now worth $195.
Yeah.
How much of your money are you going to leave in this property? So what's 80% of
$195? 156. So you'd be out of it.
All my money back out, all my rehab costs, my down payment money. Now I've got a property
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, you could refinance all of your money out, and then you
own the property. Probably, yeah, if I was marketing, I would market to a landlord that could see exactly that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a great deal for them. Those BRRRR strategies aren't always very apparent right now. So when you can find them, they're good deals.
Okay.
And just so you know, if you were financing, let's say, 155 at 5.7, which I don't even know if that's current interest, non-owner occupied, but you're at about 900, it's not like super, super good. So maybe
for cash
it's more.
Flow.
Yeah. This particular property, unless you could get the rents up a little bit, maybe not so much. But I'd still rather have rental property where I have no money in it.
Absolutely.
Than if I've got 20-25% of my money in it. Yeah. Right? Okay, so that's one offer right off the bat.
Okay, so 132 down for 6 months. We take over the monthly payment of $800 and offer $20,000 down.
$15,000 to $20,000 down. Short term, yep. Not a big deal.
Okay.
All right, so here's a second one. So before we did a subordination, right, we did on your first offer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why this will not work on this property, okay? He owes $95,000. The property is worth $195,000. He owes about 50%
sure.
loan to value.
Yeah.
For the subordination to work, we can't get into this close to 50%. But we want to be less. Because remember, we have to borrow this money. Mm-hmm. And we're borrowing it at 7-8% interest. Now, interest only. But do we really want to have a large amount of the purchase price at 7-8% money? No.
Right.
That's not what we want.
Right.
So subordination will not work on this. Okay? The numbers just will not come together. Plus, we only have $1,300 to work with here. Do you have any idea what the taxes are on this property?
I don't. I didn't look them up. Probably.
So let's say $100, yeah. Right? $100 a month. Do we have any idea what the utility costs might be?
Just going to be trash and water, trash and garbage. Yeah.
60. Okay, so right off the bat, plus insurance, which is probably 40. So we know at least a couple $100 is coming off that.
Yep.
So again, this guy isn't making, a tremendous amount of money, maybe $250, $300, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be a little harder to create as a rental.
Because
there's $500 left to split
with
between
the seller and the buyer.
Yeah, and remember, the buyer, but even before we start talking about down payments, you said that the property needs $20,000 in work.
Yeah.
Okay? So if the buyer is coming in with 20, plus let's say, almost like 10, let's call it another 10% down, so another 20, 40,
yeah.
I mean, there's just no way that as a rental that we can create a good enough return on investment.
Yeah.
So we can now just eliminate those particular strategies. Okay.
Okay.
So there is one other offer that we could do. So we have a cash offer. We have a short-term financing offer.
Yep.
There is one other, and that could be that, hey, we look to put an owner-occupant in it. So when you say 20 grand in work, is it because it's dated or like is it livable or?
Yeah, it's livable. The tenant, tenants are living in it right now.
Well, that's not always
just.
That doesn't make it livable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for if I was going to rehab it, that's what I would do. I would plan on 20,000. I haven't seen the property.
Okay, so it'd be some updates.
If I asked the owner on it, he said it does need to be updated, and it's mostly cosmetic stuff.
Okay.
So again, paint, carpet. You can probably put in new kitchen, new bath, something like that. I mean, if I was to rehab it, if I was to flip it, that's what I would do. So, I mean, potentially you could be into it 10K if you were just going to turn it into a rental, or maybe 5K. I don't know exactly. But.
Well, my guess is you're probably going to put at least 10,000 in. I mean, it's $10 a square foot ish.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's my guess.
I would think so too.
Okay, so let's talk about maybe one other way that we might be able to structure this.
Okay.
Is that so? I don't want to give him the top price on this one. So I don't want to give him $195,000 because it needs work. Mm-hmm. So, but we've got a cash offer around $126,000. We've got another one around $132,000.
Yep.
So what if we came in like around $148,000? Okay, significantly higher.
$148,000. Okay.
Okay. And let's just play with some numbers and see what we can come up with. Now, the down payment, remember, we want to keep it low. And we want to keep it low, especially when we've got whether it's us or our buyer is going to have to put some more money into it.
Okay.
So let's call it like $7,000 down, which is not a lot.
Nope.
So that would leave us with a $141,000 balance.
Okay.
So, even at 4% right there, it's only like $673 plus, you know, we're figuring about another $100 for taxes, insurance. We have the same issue that we had on that last one, is that, you know, we have to keep raising our interest rate to try to get to where, you know,
that cash flow.
Yeah, that's going to make even cash sense.
Flow. Yeah.
So even at 4.5%, it's only $714,000. There's not a lot of what we can offer him in terms of cash flow. There's just not there. You know, even at 5%, we're at $756,000. You know, he's $856,000. I mean, he's probably making $60 a month, which, and I don't know that it's really necessarily helping us. We could make this offer, and what we'd do is, whether it's us or someone else, we'd go in and say, all right, and it would probably be us. So I probably would not look to wholesale it this way, just because I think you'll have far fewer buyers that know what they're doing. And personally, I probably would steer clear. But let me just explain what my thought process was. So if I could buy it for $148,000 with $7,000 down,
uh-huh.
So I'd go put in, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, but whatever needed to. I'm not retail, getting it retail ready. Just spiffing it up, cleaning it up, making some cheaper upgrades. This is a low-end house.
Yeah.
And then I would go and sell it on terms, okay, for $205,000, $207,000. So more than what it's really worth.
Okay.
And I would try to get my $20,000 to $23,000 down, $25,000 maybe. That would help offset my $7,000 down.
Yeah.
My $10,000 or $11,000, $12,000. I'd make a little money, hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could create much of a cash flow, but his cash flow would have to be basically nothing.
Yeah.
So there's just not
that much. It's not very
much.
Attractive, yeah, it's to just the, not to the seller.
Yeah. So what I would tell you is I'd probably just focus on the two offers, cash offer and the short-term finance offer.
Okay.
Unless he gave me a reason to say, hey, would you look at doing something more longer term where, hey, we'll get you a down payment, but there's not going to be little to no cash flow.
Yeah.
And if that were the case, then I would come up with something for him. But
okay.
Knowing what the information that you've shared with me, I don't, in my mind, I don't know why he would want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I've been wrong about why sellers may or may not want to do something. it's probably a bad trait to assume anything, but in my mind, I don't know why they would want to do that, why this guy would want to do that.
Yeah.
So I would probably tell him, look, I have two offers for you on this. I could come up with another one or two, but I don't know that there's going to be much, if any, cash flow. Your payment would be covered. I could get you some money up front, but you'd have to wait on the balance. Is that something that you'd want to do?
It's worth asking.
It might be.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would go to the trouble of trying to figure out how to structure this without knowing that, because I just don't see how I'm going to get any more than $100 cash flow.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, I don't even want to give him $100 cash flow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, cool. Okay. I like that, just coming up with this, you know, short-term offer, which I try to do anyway on all of mine. Okay. Well, great. Well, let's end this one here before we get into the next one. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. Once again, we appreciate your ear. Pass this on if you have other buddies in real estate or other friends that's interested in investing. Please let them know about this podcast. We would appreciate it. You can reach us at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Or we also have a hotline that we've been trying to get people to call in on to leave comments, ask questions, give us topics, ideas, so on and so forth. That is 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090. Jeff, any last words?
I wish I could have come up with some more offers for you, but yeah. One of the things you got to know is that they don't always work. I mean, creative terms are great, but sometimes we can't create a deal where there's just not a deal.
Well, on this one, the payment's just too high to make anything work.
Well, and what we're seeing with this particular seller is that he must have had these properties long term.
Yeah.
That he's just paid down from a loan that he's had, so the payment's still high. But this is more of an equity play for him.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.